Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to Wordmaster Podcast episode 135 with Paul and Barry. It is 135.
It is 135, yeah.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Preparation is the...
yes, it is, yeah.
It's, mm-hmm. It's half the battle.
Half the battle, yeah. And knowing it's half the battle.
Yeah. So you just swapped tiers. I like that. So I was in
the left ear. I was just checking you were recording it. I wouldn't put it
little
past
red light,
to
red
jab
light.
The button with your northern fingers and get it wrong.
So I was talking to a friend of mine who's is an older gentleman. I see him from dog walking of school and stuff. He's a granddad, and you know, well, we get on quite well. Anyway, he took his wife for her 60th birthday to a once-in-a-lifetime swimming with dolphins.
Oh, right, okay. So if it's once-in-a-lifetime, do they execute you afterwards?
I have no idea.
And feed you to the dolphins?
It's like a kind of fucking bucket list thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So they went all the way to Miami SeaWorld, and this was about... I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, so
yeah.
The phones weren't what they were, so he borrowed a video camera, and she didn't want him to go with her, she wanted him to film.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said it was quite sunny, and he's only got one good eye, and he filmed somebody else.
The whole thing?
Oh, fuck.
Filming somebody else. I bet that went down well when he came home. Yeah, I got you.
No, you're not.
Oh.
You've got a beard.
Oh.
What are you watching that?
That's a man with a beard.
Is it?
Oh, my God.
Right, so it's Friday night. It's 1 week post arriving in Brunei.
Yes, that's right.
Paul's painting because, you know, multitasking. Never a dull moment. So he's painting some fucking hog. They're called hunters, these were. In old money. I don't know what they're called now. They could be called anything. It was an ogre hunter.
A misspelled ogre is what they're called.
A hunter, and that's a saber tooth, and they're grots.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a Shadespire. No, that's bold, wrong term. It's an Underworld's warband.
Right, and this is, you're following a pattern or
line numbers? Yeah, I am following a guide that was online. Yeah.
Oh, no, very nice. Very nice. He's also, just so people know, he's only about... I mean, we've been home 4 days.
Yeah.
Just about.
Yeah.
And you're only about 6 hours away from your next adventure.
That's about it. Yeah, it's about right.
So, maybe... Where are you going, Paul? What are you doing?
I'm going skiing in Val Thorens.
Is there snow?
Well, Val Thorens is the highest ski resort in the Alps.
So if there's no snow, there's no snow anyway.
Basically, there is snow, and yeah, exactly right. Is it like, if you don't get snow there, there's no... I think it's guaranteed snow.
There is no snow to be had.
Yeah, yeah, isn't it? Because you can't go higher.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Unless you get a helicopter up to somewhere, and who's got the money for that?
Not me.
Not me either. I mean, like,
So while we were away, Paul told me a little bit about what this old... Because I've never been skiing, being a northern monkey.
Good.
So it's a southern trait, it's a southern thing, isn't it? It's definitely middle class, for sure. For sure, middle class.
It is, yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Skiing, centre parks, all that kind of shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sounds bizarre.
Bizarre? What's bizarre about it?
That you have your own maid and chef.
It's a chalet, so staying in a chalet. So.
Well, it ain't chalet any chalet I've ever been in with a maid and chef.
Well, they don't live in these.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so what?
They sleep in a stable.
So what this chalet is a floor of a big building that is accommodating 8 people in 4 rooms, and the staff will come in every day, and they don't say that. If the chalet was a individual place,
right.
Like, you imagine your picturesque triangle, you know, bridge cottage, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, then the staff would probably live there as well.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or live very close in accommodation.
Okay. That's good. You're a competent skier, I guess.
I did a ski season, so doing the job of the people that are going to be serving me. And now I'm going back.
So does that mean you're going to cut them slack, or you're going to be hard on them because you know where they're cutting corners?
I mean, it's not a hard job, a chalet host. Like, anybody can do it.
Right.
You know, like, you just, you know... It,
even after Brexit, anybody can do it.
Maybe. <you know. laughs> It's just, you know, it's what the trip is I'm going with a friend of mine, you know, a school friend. It's going to be a week of skiing during the day, meals catered for you, breakfast and dinner catered for you. The dinners are all three course, you know, like sit down affairs with unlimited table wine.
Unlimited.
That's what you go for. Yeah, like, I mean, now the thing is, I don't know if Ben's going to be the one to kick the arse out of the skiing, like, oh, we've got to get up and, what is it, first lines, and there's an expression, like, you know...
Is that not about cocaine?
No. First marks in the snow. At dawn until dusk. I mean, personally, I've done...
Is it not quite tiring, this shit?
It is. I mean, you've got to be... To do it the whole day, yeah, it is tiring. You know,
And a bit fucking repetitive.
I mean, but the fun is... skiing is fun. Like, I think some people, I guess because they can't get good at it or they get hurt by it or something. Right. Or, I don't know, maybe they have a bad experience where they haven't got their clothes right so they get cold. A bad experience. But the actual act of skiing and snowboarding, because I do both, it is fun. It just is. But I enjoy the thing. Now, I think by the end of a week there, I'll have scratched the itch, so to speak, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm done now. I don't need to do any more, particularly. But
people seem to need this itch scratched annually.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you went last year, didn't you?
I did with family, yeah. I was going to go with friends, but then I couldn't do both trips, so I went with family, because that was probably going to be... And yeah, I don't think that family thing would happen again, because my parents probably... It was a bit too much for them, really. Yeah, to go skiing. Yeah, not as in too much as in financially, like, they couldn't physically do it.
Yeah, of course, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
It must be quite tiring and quite repetitive. So muscles you're not used to using. Might do a day, but then after day two, day three, your muscles will get fatigued.
It's squatting a lot, basically. The burn is in your legs, in your thighs, and and skiing uses also your ass, basically.
Yes.
you're crouched over a lot. I'm hoping that Ben isn't going to want to, see we have to do something excessive, because to be honest, you ski better when you have the energy to do it. When you don't have the energy, when you're knackered, you ski badly technically, and that's when accidents happen.
Of course,
in my experience,
tiredness.
So when I'm tired,
it's the same with driving.
Totally. So when I'm tired, I'll be like, I should stop now because I don't want to get hurt. Yeah, I don't want to have a bad accident. Not that I think that's very likely for me, because I mean, I am good, at it. You know, I'm not, don't get me wrong, it's not, there are plenty of people out there better than me, but when I did a ski season, so when I did 6 months doing the thing, I got, I got to the point where I'd only get better with, advanced lessons. You know, which I'd never get, because I've never, it is humbling when you are skiing and you get a group of local school kids who live there, so people do live in these chalets, locals, and they ski past you, and just the most technical, gifted kids, because it's just to them it's not a thing.
It's walking, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's quite humbling, because there'll always be someone better than you.
That's life. So we don't really need to talk we could talk a little bit about what we did this week, because we played some games and then get crack on with Bruno,
I
guess.
Yeah, totally.
Because, as I said, Paul's only got about 6 hours before he goes at 3 a.m. on his flight. You played a game this week. What were you up to?
I played a Lord of the Rings, Middle Earth strategy battle game.
Lord of the Rings is the correct title, I believe.
Yeah, and that was against Rid, and I took both a good and evil force. And we rolled off to see who was using what.
So did he have two forces as well?
Yeah, he had two forces as well. And
so what's his good force? Because this evil is basically the Witch King and Chaff and Shelob.
No, it's Sauron.
And Shelob and Chaff.
Yeah. And his good force was Army of the Dead. Yeah,
nice.
It's a good list. Yeah, and so the first game we rolled up was he used Army of the Dead, and I used Dark Powers of Dol Guldur, which is the Necromancer. You know, Sauron the Necromancer before he's fully revealed. You know, in The Hobbit, and his ring wraiths in that form they take then versus, because they're wraiths, basically wraiths versus ghosts. And yeah,
you did play two games then?
We did play two games, yeah.
Holy moly, you were cracking on.
It doesn't take, like, Middle Earth is not complicated. It does not take a long time.
Right.
Compared to a lot of war games, it really doesn't. Like, I know what I'm
Your cat is very needy.
Yeah. Yeah, she wants attention.
I'll recognise your existence. What did I play?
And then the second game was I used Minas Tirith and played is his Sauron, his Barad-dûr, which is Sauron, in his full form in the original, like in the end of.
You're talking like half an army or more, just in him.
He is over half. He's 400 points in a 700 point game.
I mean, he looks pretty intimidating on the board.
Yeah, he's cool, and in that one. The scenario there was a capture the get the dig out the secret or like the art of the object you need, and once you've got it out of the ground you can hand it off to people. So what he really got there first, got it to Sauron, so I would basically have to take it off Sauron. That ain't easy.
You'll kill him, basically.
Well, yeah, because he's not going to give it up any other way. Rid did the right exactly the right thing. He played the scenario well and he got it to the very good piece that I got Boromir. And a Knight of the White Tower onto, and they actually did win a fight against Sauron and did a few wounds, but that ain't Sauron. That is burning like a candle that is not very long. Like it's my exhaust of might to win, down. Because Sauron's better, and he should be better because he's 400 points.
Yeah, yeah, maybe nothing close.
Yeah, yeah,
maybe a Balrog or something. Maybe something like that.
Yes, yeah, or, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Or like the fucking elephant thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I played Star Wars, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've always...
Tell me about Star Wars.
Well, it's an interesting game. Because what happened 2 years ago, they released Rebels and Stormtroopers, basically, Empire and Rebels. And the game was like everywhere for about a month, and then just died. And then they released a second core set, and it's Clones Against Droids.
Droids!
I kind of like that era. That's quite funny. And if you watch Clone Wars, there's lots of stuff, lots of background.
Yep.
And so I picked it up. And it's got the same problem the other game had, that the release schedule is completely hidden from you.
So
there were no army books.
Well, hang on. To those who don't know, who writes the game?
So it's Fantasy Flight.
They're having real problems at the moment.
They have real problems fucking all over, mate.
They are struggling.
They've closed down some games, they've sacked some staff.
Yeah.
But all this is irrelevant. So the problem is that the business model relies on having waves of releases that are only told about like maybe a month, maybe 6 weeks in advance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And beyond that, it's completely dark. You don't know what's coming. Nothing might be coming.
Yeah. So they don't have pre-release.
Well, it's cunning, and yet it's not very ethical. So, I'll explain to you. You've got this core set. You've got some B1s, if you know what they are, like fucking shit droids.
Yep, yep.
You've got some droidicas.
Droidicas.
You've got a character.
Yep.
You could buy a second character, because that was available pretty soon.
Yep.
You could buy some upgrades for the droids.
Yep.
And then everything else...
Like unit options.
Special weapons and stuff. And then that's it, effectively. And then, coming soon, hopefully, if it... Because the problem with them is they never stick by their release dates.
Yeah, yeah.
And then even if they do stick by the release dates, the fucking stuff sells out in milliseconds.
Okay.
And then the next wave is fucking forever away.
So they have supply problems?
Oh, massively. It's the same as X-Wing. X-Wing was never in stock, was it? People were always bitching about, I can't get the stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you've got supply problems. You've got the fact that anything you buy now... In 2 years' time, because they're still releasing, 2 years on, they're still releasing stuff for the Empire and Rebels.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So if they leave the good stuff, which they have done till the end, all the stuff you bought previous is now redundant because you want the good stuff.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. And if I put the good stuff at the beginning, nobody's going to buy anything else.
So what would have been the better way to do it?
And a codex.
Yeah, right, got it. Oh, so you know...
What's coming, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you might not know when it's fucking coming. It might come in a year, it might come in 10 years.
And that would allow you to...
Build a list. Games, yeah, or whatever. But so, it feels like you get the box set, and people say, oh, buy two box sets, buy three box sets.
Yep.
And you did with Lord of the Rings, like, whatever, fuck it. So you buy two box sets, and then they release some stuff. Now, you're bored shitless of playing with the stuff that's in the box set, because that's all you've had.
Yeah, yeah.
So you say, oh, maybe I'll buy two or three units of this next one that comes out.
Yep.
And then a month later, something else comes out. Yep. Oh, I buy one or two of them. But they might make the things you bought this month completely redundant.
They might do.
And then in 3 months' time, something else comes out. But you've never... it's basically, you never know what's coming. So unless you're just going to buy multiples of every release, which is why nothing's ever in fucking stock.
Yeah.
Because people are... If they're invested in the game, just want to play the game.
Yeah.
And at the moment, you can't even build... You can't play the game. So if you want to play against in a tournament, for example, people talk about, oh, what's a tournament list? So you've got Rebel and Empire lists that have 2 years' worth of releases playing against basically just six units of B1 battle droids and a couple of characters.
Doesn't sound good.
And that's the optimal list because that's the only fucking list.
If that is your choice, yeah.
Yeah, it's either that or the destroyer droids.
Yeah.
So now I've bought six units of these fuckers to play at 800 points.
How much money, monetary money, is that cost?
They're not terribly expensive. Okay. Like £20 a unit.
Okay.
But they maybe need upgrades as well. Yep. That's another £15 a unit.
Yep.
But you've got this nagging feeling that everything you're buying now is just going to be obsolete. But you can't do anything about that doubt because there's nothing to refer to.
Yeah.
Because everything's dark.
You're saying that if you have skin in the game, to use one of your terms.
If you want to play in a tournament or competitively.
Is there a tournament?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. In fact, what I suggested today on the kind of those WhatsApp groups and stuff is that this game just needs to be, if you're interested in droids and clones, just needs to be a hobby of painting.
Yeah.
For the next year.
Yeah.
So just put the fucking models away for a year.
Yeah.
Maybe even longer than that, and come back in a year and see what's been released and see what you want to buy. Because trying to fight through all this darkness and the fact that there's like false scarcity. No, it's not even false scarcity, it is scarcity. So if you want these models, you have to pre-order them. You don't even know what they fucking do and you're having to buy them.
Yeah, got it.
Because if you don't buy them, they're out of stock.
Yeah.
And because of like China, with the coronavirus and stuff, they're out of stock for fucking ever.
This sounds very similar to the issues that Game of Thrones, the miniature game.
Yeah, Rick says it's exactly the same as Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've got a similar release schedule. They don't tell you what's coming, that you don't know the rules for models.
Yeah, you don't,
It's just bullshit, isn't it? If you want to find a way to piss players off with your game, release a game like this.
Yeah.
In this way. Because people might last 3 months, it might last 6 months, but people aren't packing this long term.
No.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm just playing starter box games over and over again because there is no other game. And then, it's just crap. It's sad. But I'm this is like what happened 2 years ago all over again, I'm sure. But I didn't buy in 2 years ago. But I'm 100% sure that the game was everywhere and then 2 months later it was dead.
It was dead.
Because look at Game of Thrones. Apart from you and Reed, I've never even heard anybody talk about fucking Game of Thrones.
No, it's a shame because it is a good game and it is slowly getting there with its releases.
You're slowly, it's not good.
But
in 2 years and there might be a game.
Yeah, exactly. And I've said the same thing as that. Like because its release schedule is so problematic, I've picked up a faction. Do I have all the Lannister options? No, because the game system, it needs to get a lot
bigger.
Like,
have you bought everything that's been released?
No, not for Lannisters. Yes, because
this is bad news for them because you're only buying Lannisters and you're not even bothering buying.
Because I'm picking up like stuff for like as in oh the next time I play Red I'll try something new. I'm doing it that way. I'm doing purchases based on amount of games I'm playing.
Right.
Of it. So like ahead of the next game, I've picked up Joffrey Baratheon and the Knights and the Kingsguard, which make a really cool either lots of unit attachments or a unit by themselves.
Right.
That's a.
They're the gold cloak, Joffrey.
That's cool. Like no, this is Kingsguard, so this is like all the his inner circle of knights, protectors, and the king. So Joffrey's king.
Like the one that Renly was part. No.
The one that Jamie Lannister was part of. Yes, they were all part of the Kingsguard. Like, Kingsguard.
Right.
You remember?
They weren't gold cloaks, they were the other ones. The inner circle.
Yeah.
Brienne of Tarth was one.
Yes, which eventually became. Well, no, that's Renly. This is Joffrey, you know, the little king who's poisoned. Like, I'm the king.
I only remember the fucking.
It happened in, like, the second or third series.
That
he was dead.
Oh, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a shame, really. Both those games stand in a similar fucking place that I can't really recommend playing them.
Fantasy Flight games, yeah. Simon Fantasy Flight. Yeah. Oh, dear.
I mean, the biggest problem is that probably the American market is so big and so desperate for it. But, I mean, what's the point of shipping it to Europe? You sell it all in America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to piss the Americans off.
No, that's true.
Mm-hmm. No, they'll probably sue you for mental distress. For billions. Right, so that's all we've played this week. It's been quite quiet. You've been doing some painting, no doubt.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get as much of these done so before I go skiing, you know, because I'll be taking them skiing with me, because Underworlds is a game that me and Ben play.
Okay, cool.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
So Bruno...
Yeah?
1 week ago today, we were probably, well, it was about an hour forward at 9:30. We were eating in Susie's.
Oh, fantastic.
Susie's bar. So for those of you that don't know, I mean, I don't know how you're listening to this and don't know, there was a War Master get-together last week and we had 19 players, of which one didn't show, which is a shame. But
did you know why? Well, his family, was it? As in why they didn't show?
No. I mean, they contacted me, said they weren't going to show.
Okay,
so but that also meant that was an even number, so I was no longer a spare player.
Fantastic.
So every crowd has a silver lining.
Of course, yeah.
And the reason we chose the Czech Republic is because we'd heard it was cheap.
And we were not proved wrong.
Yeah. So the venue is a place called Black Oil.
Yep.
They had some kind of association with a microbrewery, so the beer on site was really,
called
really good.
And the beer was called Lucky Bastard.
Lucky Bastard.
Uh-huh.
And it was about... Was it 36 kroner? Is that the number?
So the beer was either 30 kroner for a half litre or 36 kroner for a half litre of the type of beer. And that's strong beer as well, the 36 one. There's 30 Corona roughly in a pound, so you're talking a pound or a pound 20 a drink.
Right.
I mean, it's like...
I certainly felt rich ordering rounds.
We didn't have to worry about it, did you?
No.
Like, it's a case where it's so cheap, it doesn't really matter. Like, it's fine. You can afford it. Like, it's not. Yeah. Why not buy somebody that drink as well? Because it's not a big deal.
Yeah. It certainly was a very good place.
Yep.
So we went there on Friday night. We hung around, had a few beers. Went out to Susie's, had a few beers.
Yep.
And then, so present at that point, there were myself and you and Jim, who were all staying in the same hotel.
Yep.
With Peter and Christina and Frank.
Yep.
Who were also staying in our hotel, and then we met up with Alish.
Alish, yeah.
Met up with Martin.
Martin, the Swede.
The Swede, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then later on in the evening, we met up with the four Polish Warmaster Brotherhood.
They're little meta.
Yeah, they were. So then I was quite tired when we went out with those. But I mean, that was certainly enjoyable, and they certainly were up for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd only just started drinking. I presume they'd only just started drinking. Because I've only just got there.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I mean, they certainly filled the stereotype of drinking morning, noon, and night, didn't they?
but I mean, it's like everybody was super friendly. Like, you know, and thankfully, only the Polish didn't, like, they could speak English, but they wasn't the best, like, strongest at it. Because obviously, I'm never going to criticise someone for, like, not speaking good English when I can't speak their language.
No.
So, yeah, everybody else said fantastic English.
Well, Peter the German, he was saying how easy Polish was to learn. It's like, fucking hell. It's all consonants, mate. It's like, isn't that easy? Jesus.
Maybe easy for you.
Easy for you. It's not fucking easy for us. Saturday, we had a morning to kill, so we recorded an episode, the last episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the event. So, Alice did a lot of the hard work, heavy lifting, mm-hmm. which was great.
Good for you. Yeah.
Because there were a few people who weren't overly interested in the campaign system, which kind of brought a few minor issues. I mean, to be fair, if you just wanted to play games, the campaign system was very important.
So are we going to talk about all our games individually?
Are we just talking about the whole event overall?
I suppose a bit of structure we should like. I mean, my,
can you remember your four games?
I can remember my four games, yeah. Shall I just quickly talk about them?
Yeah, if you like.
So,
Let me say the campaign structure was based on Mighty Empires.
Yeah.
So it was all about getting tiles.
Yeah.
And if you can't get tiles, then getting castles and cities on the tiles.
Yeah. And the rules would say the first one to 10 empire points wins the game.
Yeah.
A tile is worth 1 point. If the tile is a city, which is something you develop, it's worth 2 points. That's how
first you score. First to 10 wins.
That's how you score. Now, my first game was against Jin.
Well, they're important to say that we had to dice off to who landed on the island first.
Yeah.
And Paul was last.
I was last. I rolled the party. Without a D100, I rolled three. Like, yeah.
So you were left with literally nowhere to land.
Well, I had to break the rules. In terms of the last few players, I had to break the rules of setup, as in you had to have area between, the tile between.
So you had a guy either side, either side.
Yeah, basically. But
and did that affect the outcome of the tournament for you, the campaign?
To be honest, I mean, if we're going to talk about the campaign overall, it's like essentially the winner of it has to, other people have to allow them to win. But because you can only lose a tile, one tile per round, and we only did four rounds.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
well,
so
we didn't need, it could have gone in three rounds. The game could have been ended in three rounds.
A lot of it just comes down to luck of when you've drawn up, when you go, who activates first.
Okay.
Because if you dash forward and manage to catch, you know, two, three tiles, that stops enough that the other person now can't get to and can't get anywhere else.
You can cut them off.
Off
the pass. Right. So we were given two free tiles to start.
Yep.
So normally it's one, we got two.
Yeah, okay. Which makes sense.
And we got some bonus points for the first few rounds.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about as we go through that. So round one, you played.
I played Jin, because I'd been egged on the night before, let's play him, and so there we go. So I played Jim's skew list of 11 Chaos Warriors.
Just the 11.
And Tomb Raiders and some characters against my Dark Elves.
Now, listeners, if you were worried about how bent that list sounds, it really didn't pan out very well for him at all.
No.
Maybe it would have been better with objectives, I don't know, like in scenario play, because they're not easy to shift. But
no, I mean, and in our game, it was good to play it, because we have gathered a reputation to the Europeans that we play the game very quickly, and they like don't understand how the game can be played so quickly. So there we go. Me and Jim, like not that we played particularly fast, I would say, but we did our game in 90 minutes. How long was there a round?
It was 3 hours, but quite a lot of rounds went way beyond that.
Yeah. So me and Jim took half the time, without even any issues, and that was fine. I wouldn't say we were rushing. It's just Jim did like come forward to play. The game would have got, if Jim had backed off, the game would have gone on longer. But
what list were you using? Just remind
Dark Elves. So
Dark Elves.
So a character set up with two Terracles and two Manticore characters.
No, and you didn't take the 30-point scepter.
You don't
roll blunders, do you?
The only blunder I rolled was the very first dice roll of the tournament.
But luckily, in the campaign rules, there was some shenaniganry that can get you out of jail.
Yeah, exactly.
So as long as you're within 30 of the general, you can re-roll, which is kind of made to save high elf ass. Because if the first order of the first game would have been you killing your Manticore hero,
would have been difficult.
That would have made me laugh all weekend.
Would have been harder. I mean, you couldn't write the thing. Basically, I was just like, I won't need this thing. Double six.
Boom.
Well, hello there. Yeah. So, I just handled it. He didn't have, obviously, it was just all heavy infantry. And there's ways to handle that, which I,
what are called cold ones, generally.
Yeah, exactly, but I just, I could...
Not everybody has access to cold ones.
Yeah. It's just like, I could piece trade well, I could shoot, I could do enough firepower that it did matter on his stands. My terror causes meant that every combat, you know.
Well, if you get them in the flank with a terror cause, you can slow them down for sure.
I got buffs on every combat, etc. So it was like not a big. I don't find that list at the end of the day too big a deal to handle.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. I certainly on paper I was worried about it. Now, my first game, mm-hmm. is probably the matchup I fear the most playing ogres, and it's Lizardmen, mm-hmm. Peter, because they have got every fucking tool they need to take me to pieces.
take you to the cleaners.
Every fucking thing they need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've got artillery. They've got really good flyers.
Yeah.
They've also got like a movement spell, so even if I protect the front, they can get in the back or the side. If I've got two units of Rhinox riders, which are a quarter of my army almost.
Yeah.
They've got a spell that won't allow them to do anything.
Yeah.
For the whole game.
They shouldn't do anything. Yeah.
They did nothing. They were just spectators for the whole game. What else have they got? So I've got good infantry. They've got good infantry. Their infantry is cheaper than me.
Yeah.
They got good spells. They got good everything. Good everything. I got fucking annihilated. I know all the rules. I know like the maximum threat is 50 centimeters from a character. I know how everything works. Yeah. And there was literally nothing I could do to slow them down.
Yeah.
I think he had 4 units of cold ones who just fucking vaporise whatever they hit. What are you going to stand up to them with?
Yeah. Boom. You. Next. Boom. You. Next.
Slam. Well, the only thing I've got to stand up to them are Rhino Spiders, but they're not playing the game.
No.
They're just watching from the sidelines.
No.
Man. So I think that's probably as big a loss as I've ever had.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was in the, like, I lost 1,300 points worth of stuff. And I killed a unit of pterodons.
Oh dear.
That somehow bounced off my artillery.
Yeah, crushed.
Yeah, it was fucking crushed.
That's quite a stomping.
That was about my highlight of the game, was that I had 2 units of the scrap launchers.
Yeah, yeah.
And 2 units of nobblers.
Yeah.
Like, protecting them.
Yeah.
One in front of each other. So we got some support, we got some little shiny bits.
Yep.
And his pterodons came in the front, and we beat them off. They did 2 wounds on each of the catapults and lost.
Oh,
and then we swallowed them up with nobblers.
Yeah, because your scrap rotters have 3 wounds each.
3 wounds
there
each.
There you go, perfect. Absorbed, got ya.
Absorbed, got ya. Yeah, but I mean, that was the only highlight.
I'm sure that bewildered the poor Peter. Like that result.
Well, it certainly shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes that happens. Mm-hmm. So that was an absolute annihilation. I got 1 point for being annihilated, and we got a bonus point. So I got a tile. So I'm on 3 tiles now.
Yeah.
And I think by the time you started placing, land was already disappearing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I didn't want to have to conquer Jim, because I was like, you know.
Were you next to him?
I was next to him, like literally. So
you
like,
stolen one. So
that's, yeah, that's why we're playing each other.
Right.
You know, like, and I didn't want to have to conquer him, because I thought, oh well, there'll be other tiles I can. But by the time I got to have a go, because I wanted to get a mountain piece, because I could then put a mine in the mountain to get money,
etc.
Like play the campaign rules. No, all of that's gone. All my options gone. I had to take a tile off Jim.
Is that all's left?
Yeah, it's like my only choice of anything to do.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like,
so I was in a lucky position that even though there were people around me, there was lots of room in land.
Yeah.
So I just headed inland, because that seemed to be the way to do. You were going to have a lot of people fighting over tiles near the coast, but once you get inland, past the fighting, there's loads of stuff inland to steal.
Yeah, 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 totally. It's. I mean, the map looked beautiful, but some people had come to it like with a good idea in mind of like where they were going to go and what they were going to do.
So game 2, so I never got to choose a game all weekend, because I was always being picked. So game 2 I got, it wasn't Vlad, he was game 3. Do you remember who I got game 2?
Well, I know who
I got. Do you know who you got? You talk about who you got and I'll think about who I got.
So my game 2 was against Rad. Yeah, like
Bretonian Rad.
Against Bretonians, and that was a fantastic game. So Rad's member of the rules committee. He's got good English. Czech national, and he was using Bretonians. And we had a really good game. So I'd gone into that one with the elite army option played for. So I was allowed to take. I took 3 units of bolt throwers. Yeah, which is so one above the, which I planned on, like, if I get to do this, I wanted to see, like, how
this
was.
This is a funny story. So this is how you're going to destroy all the peasants, yeah?
Yeah.
With the bolt throwers of justice.
Yeah, basically, because I'm not going to run out of bullets, am I, bolts? It's like, I'm just going to shoot these guys to bits. And yeah, we played a really tight game, like one or two rules questions, like, yeah, that were, like, picked up and sorted out. And yeah, it was a really good game of War Master. But it got to that, then, because I was starting to lay down, like, damage around, like, all his units, he was getting, my core artillery brigade was still intact.
Right.
It was getting very hard for him to
order anything
to get, and then, so he'd get an order in and then fail the second order because casualties and everything was making it difficult. You know, like, I was going to take because he was hiding his Bretonnian break well.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
as you would,
yeah,
as you would,
and you should do. So I'm like, I'm going to be very efficient with how I kill things that, like, all his peasants and his squires and stuff. I have to be very, how can I damage them while taking the least amount of damage from them?
Right,
because
right.
I need to.
Did you explain this was what you were planning to do to him?
So,
take you apart, piece by piece.
Because, like, it got to the point where it's like, well, I'm staving off these attacks. And, like, yeah, and he's only becoming weaker, and I'm not getting worse, but he's becoming weaker. So I was like, right, okay, so the other way to tackle this is, and rather than, like, me struggling to get to his knights, because I'm playing at a speed, I'm not losing time on the clock, it's like, I'm just going to take everything he's got off the table till he can't hide it anymore, because it'll be my stuff, like, that's all that's left to go get him. And then, Vlad, at the end of a turn, Rad said, "Oh, well, that'll be the turn's over.
Roll
to see if it continues." I was like, "What?" And the campaign was being played with an there's in the War Master Compendium. It says there's a section that says how does the game end, and there's several, like, as in turn limit wise,
right.
Like, and there's several options. One of them is the game has no set turn limit, which is obviously what we do. Well, not them. So they all played.
Yeah, but it's not. It wasn't just that. Like, every game I played, apart from Peter, who hasn't played many games.
Yeah.
Every game I played, the person I was playing, without me mentioning it, was using that dice to track.
Right, yeah.
So I think it's just the norm.
Yeah.
It's just we don't play the
in
norm.
England, we don't. Like,
no.
But it's normal. It's like the set. It's not like this is the default option unless you choose one of these others.
But I think
there is no default option.
No, but I think. That is just the norm. That's just what people do. So what happened, Paul?
So the game it finished turn six, and ran, okay, we have to roll to see. And I was like, oh, the game might end. And I was like, why? You know, like, because we have to roll to see.
That's the
if
rules.
It continues. And I was like, is that the rules?
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, oh, it is. And the dice rolled and ended there. And so it ended as a weird result. I ended up losing and Rad had a draw.
Yeah, that happened twice to me.
Yeah.
The lost draw.
The lost draw. Neither of you won, but one of you did better than the other because they had more victory points. Like, yeah.
So nobody breaks anybody.
Nobody breaks anybody.
If he's done more victory points, got more victory points, mm-hmm. he will draw.
Yeah.
And you will lose.
And exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the result that we finished up with.
But you should have got more victory points of chaff, shouldn't you? Just.
Yeah, but it just doesn't cost much, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't cost much, and you don't get a point anything for, like, killing a unit, a stand of knights. Yeah, because, like, they need two stands to, like, get your half points.
Oh, see.
Yeah, like, so, yeah. The thing is, I was literally, my position was becoming unassailable. Like, he could not get things close enough to me to threaten my. I'm just going to shoot everything off, and then eventually I'll run. Eventually, like, on my, you know, my. It would be just cool. We just, like, grind him into the curb. We're like, yeah, that's how this is done. But yeah, there we go. So the event was using a finish that we did not recognise.
Well, I know it now.
Yeah, I know it now. But it was fun. Yeah, it was. I do not begrudge that. Yeah,
no, it was funny because that was about. Because the game took a little bit of time, so that was maybe 10 o'clock on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Which was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'd just finished my second game.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I hadn't come across this rule either.
No.
Well, it was in the book, but we just never used it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I played Frank.
Yeah.
So I played both of the German
counts. Oh, did you really?
Yeah. And Frank had vampire counts.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty stock build, apart from 4 ethereal hosts, which I think is quite a lot.
Yeah, it is.
And 3 black knights, 3 dogs, and the rest of the random infantry stuff. So this game, I mean, obviously my infantry's stronger than his infantry.
Yeah.
Because I've got, like, bull ogres and iron guts and stuff. But I've only got 2 units of cavalry, he's got 6.
Yeah.
And he's got raised dead, he's got all kinds of shenaniganry. So the game's got to boil down to, thank fuck he doesn't have the spell that stops me charging.
Yeah.
For a start. Because I'm a million, it seemed like there were 2 kings everywhere. I think there were 4.
Was
two kings on. Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But, so I managed to get the drop on his hounds. Now, hounds aren't standing. Game 1, I didn't use my Rhinox Riders at all.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, I know they hit hard, but I hadn't seen them in action. Game 2, when they finally got into action, they ran down 21 attacks, and the guy on the top was another 5. So, what's that? That's fucking millions of attacks in it. 21. 47 attacks on the dogs, who just explode. Because, yeah, I mean, not much can take 47 attacks. I've got to move this in case it makes that noise on the... So, but he set up the dogs as a screen for his black knights. He didn't give a fuck about his dogs.
Yeah.
But he can't have me hit his black knights.
Yeah.
So I get the dogs. I don't have the reach to get into his black knights. And even if I did have the reach, it's an advance, not a charge. So
yeah.
And I've already got wounds on me and stuff. So it's like, I can't do this. I've just got to back off.
Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully, he's got a ward of them.
Yeah.
Hopefully, he doesn't order them.
Yeah.
Well, of course he did order them.
Of course.
Of course he did. And then he put flyers behind.
Yeah.
As you would. So he's got shit flyers, but he can put them behind.
Yeah. That's
he gets knights in the front.
Yeah.
I think it's 2-on-2.
Yeah.
He's got the charge. Or maybe, no, it was 3-on-2. But all of them in. 3-on-2.
Yeah.
No. 2-on-2. Whatever the fuck it was. He should have won. He's on the charge. He's got better armour. He's got the things behind.
Yeah.
I think he might have put raised dead in the side.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. All we got. Here we go. But he didn't win. And from that point, he's now lost. He falls back. My Rhino's brother just eat all his fucking black knights.
Oh dear.
And I think they've both got 2 stands left each.
Yep.
And I think we managed to swallow his dragon as well.
Oh dear.
Because my guys aren't terrified. These guys aren't terrified anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So once my black knight, once my Rhino Spiders have got nothing on the board that can hurt them, really, apart from shit fucking infantry. I've got better infantry than him, and I've got 2 heavy, super heavy cavalry, 2 stands each.
Yeah.
And he's got no cavalry left at all. So I think it wasn't the massacre that I had in game 1, but it was still classified as a massacre.
For best result.
My only win and best result by a country mile.
Yeah.
I think I lost. Oh Jesus! I don't think I lost anything hardly.
Yeah.
I think I can't even think. Maybe I lost a unit of bulls or something.
Right. Okay.
I definitely didn't lose any Rhinox riders. I definitely didn't lose anything bigger than a unit of bulls.
Yeah.
I took a, because each turn you had to pick a, what was it called, an event or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I took this event all or nothing.
Yeah.
Which meant if I didn't win, I got nothing. And if I won, I got an extra 2
extra
points.
Extra 2 tiles, yeah.
So I got 5 points for Massacre, 1 bonus point because we're having a bonus point, and 2 for the All or Nothing. So I got 8 points. Which, because I'd gone inland, was worth 4 tiles.
Yeah.
So suddenly, from me being like pushing up the bottom, I was like top.
You were top, yeah.
Top of the whole event. And I was only 3 tiles away from winning the event.
It was, yeah, because you're not going to stop and build a city. You're going
to
get tiles.
Because I'm already in the middle, so all I need to do is
keep getting tiles.
Get the 3 tiles,
yeah.
And then you win.
Yeah.
Because if you're getting tiles, unless somebody fights you and takes one off you, they can't blow them up.
That's right.
Yeah. So I was like the big cheese at the end of day
one,
somehow.
Yeah.
Coming from my worst ever defeat in game 1.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't that big a win, but it was a big enough win to get a massacre.
It was still. I mean, it's still. Vampire Cats are a very good army, and like they are better than Ogres, so it's good.
Well, it's kind of rock, paper, scissors,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I think my list always has 4 units of knights.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Because the infantry is better than Tomb Kings, but that's not hard.
It's not hard, yeah.
That's not hard at all.
I've got a Tomb King story coming up for you anyway.
So then we only ate in the venue, didn't we? So we had breakfast at the hotel.
We didn't eat, to be honest, that night.
We did eat.
It was kind of, it was like, but it's fine, I'm not complaining. But it's like we didn't, you know, we didn't stop for food.
And then we stayed drinking for about half two with Michael behind the bar, and Peter and a gym for a while, and other people for various portions of the night. Yeah. But that really stung on Sunday morning. I couldn't eat breakfast on Sunday morning because we had to be back at nine. This was always my worry. We had to be back at nine.
Yep.
So I had to be up at eight. We didn't get home till nearly three.
Yeah, it's good, wasn't it?
No, absolutely. So I had a cup of coffee and I had like a mouthful of scrambled eggs all over my stomach.
I was all right. I kept going. Yep. I mean, the only thing
that kept me going on Sunday was the Polish breakfast.
Yeah.
So for people who don't know what a Polish breakfast is, that's beer for breakfast.
It's beer. Basically, it's lit.
Because the only thing that cures the hangover is another fucking beer.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. When you had it, you perked up. You changed your tune. When
I was in real trouble. I think there may be an element of you're deferring it all to the time when you stop drinking.
Yeah.
Like, the cold turkey just gets worse and worse.
Yep.
So round three. Do you want to do your round three?
Yeah, so my round three is I've drawn against... Well,
you don't draw.
I'm still trying to play this thing as, like, what is a good idea.
So how many points did you get? Game two?
Well, I've lost.
You get one.
One. There's a two.
I've been a bonus one. But there's nowhere to go because you've got no...
Exactly.
Because you've got no free tiles. You have to build a city or something.
Yeah, that's right, Lucky me.
It's good to remember because I don't know if it was this turn or the turn after where I blew everything up.
Yeah.
Because he had a harbour, he had a mine,
he
had a castle, because he had to spend his points somewhere.
Had to spend my points somewhere, cheers for that. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about what we think of the campaign overall afterwards. But so my third game is against the Polish guy. Yeah, his English is not fantastic, but, like, better than my Polish.
The guy that won the...
He was doing the photographs.
The Gerd Award.
Yeah. And he was playing Dogs of War, and he had a defensive setup with the Galloper guns, which I don't think I'd seen that before. So basically, he put two units of Galloper guns, and he put a unit of pikemen either side of it. But the pikemen were offset; they were further forward than the Galloper guns. Not like in a cheesy way you would to do blinkers and shooting. Side. No, just like half a base. But they're the closest target for shooting, but also it meant charging them was like how am I going to get the position of the stands on a charge into them, because I just wasn't too sure, and I chatted about it afterwards at the table, like away from the game. It's like how would I position my guys if I charged them? I wasn't sure how it was like, because do I end up like having some of my stuff like flanked? I guess I do. It was the answer. I just didn't have an answer for these cannons, basically. I'd seen what they were going to do, like, to me, and I'd, right, the best thing I've got to send in there is a unit of knights or my Hydra. I tried ordering that, using my general. I just failed the dice, basically. Right. I couldn't finish get the second order to charge these things, and I would have happily peace traded anything to like remove them, because I wasn't too concerned about anything else in his army. I just never did it, and the cannons just kept shelling me. So
these Mickey Mouse 40-centimeter cannons that we rag on all the
time—they're still cannons.
They're still cannons. Well, 40 centimeters is like tiny.
I can outrange them. I don't have range 60. I have range 40.
You've got leadership tank. You not get them in range.
What?
With your bolt throwers.
This table had a really big bit of scenery in the middle, and that blocked a lot of line of sight, from like where positions.
Right.
Basically kind of divided the table in two of the two sides of this huge hill in the middle. It certainly wasn't a bad game, but I just don't have an answer. I can see what I need to do.
Right.
If I had gotten like the Hydra into them, easily would have taken them all off. Or I got my unit of knights in there, would have done it as quite strongly as well. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't get them. I was basically in a situation where analyse the situation. That's the tactic I need to do, and I can't enact the tactic. I'm trying, and I can't. And that was really the tale of that game to me. It was this interesting setup that he'd put down for how he's protecting the Galloper guns, and then my inability to finish it, to do something about that.
Right.
Just So not a bad game, but most of it was played in, like, there wasn't a lot of conversation going forth, back and forth.
Mm-hmm. I should probably say this now before I forget, but in round four, a game was played. Six rounds, obviously, and then they rolled and it was a four-up, so the game ended. Yeah. With not a victory point being given by either player.
Yeah.
I mean, that takes some fucking doing.
I don't know how.
Well, you just dance around a lot, don't you? You're waiting for the, like ancients, waiting for the mistake that never comes.
Yeah, it was.
And then the light, we go back home, come tomorrow.
So a game was played, six turns. Neither of the people playing got a single victory point. So that means none of them did enough shooting, if they had armies that shoot, that to even take two stands off something. Like, they did nothing to each other. Not a single VP.
Well, there was no fisticuffs, was there?
Yeah,
there was
no close combat.
There's no charge,
because somebody's got to lose the close combat. Like, one side loses and thus generates points. I don't understand. I don't see how.
I would have liked to see it.
Yeah.
See the game.
How?
So my game three was against a guy called Vlad, who was a local Bruno player.
Yep.
I played Orcs Goblins. I think he had the six boar boys, two brigades of three.
Mm-hmm.
And the standard infantry stuff. One dragon, four Geroth machines.
Yep.
Geroth wizards. I'll talk about a few tactics he did in the game that were interesting. The kind of key to the game for me was him blundering on his Rhinox, on his boar boys, on his right hand flank, turn one, and having a minus one to command one of the units. So that meant he had to leave them behind effectively. Because orcs aren't ordered for shit.
No.
So trying to take another one off, it's like, well, you're gone now, aren't you? What am I going to do with you? He didn't have any artillery. I had a little bit of artillery, but obviously he's got cheap shit that I'm shooting at, so it's not really doing a great deal of anything, is it?
No.
And it doesn't ignore defended, so he put the nearest thing in a wood. You needed five to hit.
Yep.
If you're needing five to hit and you're rolling six dice, you're only going to hit a couple of times. The wood cancels one of the defended.
For drive-backs, yeah.
Yeah, so I think he may have actually put ogres in there. And there was nothing he could do. They weren't
he's mitigated that pretty well, hasn't he?
Like, yeah, yeah. So even if you do a drive back, you just keep them there because they're happy in the wood. So that was a good move by him, because you're never rolling four bloody fives and sixes unless you're really lucky.
Yeah, very unlucky. Yeah.
So I pushed down the right hand side. I hid my nobblers away, pushed down the right hand side with my two Rhinox, trying to catch his three boar boys down his left flank. And luckily, I got the drop on them. Now, obviously, my boar boys are going to ruin his. My Rhinox is going to ruin his boar boys. Because nobody expects the amount of dice they put out. They go, Once you put a character in there, you're only taking, like, so it's 9, 18, 21 back. And 21 back sounds like a lot, but you're doing, like, fucking 47 dice.
Yeah.
It's just, nothing can keep up with that. So we managed to trade off the boar boys there, but we did take a little bit of damage. So we got rid of those three ball boys, a little bit of damage. And then we pushed into his stuff in the woods and we managed to get those and finish those off. So I was quite handsomely up here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'd lost one and a half and he'd lost five or six of his 10.
Yep.
I managed to push two of his characters into the single stand he had within 30 centimetres, which is in the wood.
I remember this, because I was playing closely, and this caught him out, didn't it? He didn't realise they would be stuck in there.
Yeah, but because I followed into the combat.
Yep.
They can't get out, and then they die.
Yeah.
But they didn't cost fuck all either, so that's the problem. So then the game kind of, we were running out of turns because we were playing this turn thing.
Yeah.
So one cool thing he did manage to do was fight in a combat with his boar boys outside of wood, because obviously the Geroths mess with you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing you can do to prevent Geroths from pushing something back.
No.
No matter how you put your brigade, something can get pushed.
Because something has to be in the back, yeah.
Or even if you angle them diagonally, something's. Something's got to be at the back. So he pushed something off the back.
Yep.
Now, obviously, my command's going to get stretched now, because I don't have that many. I've got, like, three things to command with. But he's got four Geroths a turn, and they're on four up, aren't they? I
think five or four.
Anyway, so there's stuff fucking everywhere.
Yep.
I spent the whole first four turns just trying to put my army back together.
Just put it back together again.
So he managed to catch a unit of bulls out in the open. With his boar boys, and so two units of boar boys and a dragon in the flank, they're going. I know they're going. There's no way they're not going.
Yeah.
So then he manages to fire Geroff into something in the wood.
Yeah.
Part of the brigade that they'd been pushed out of. And he pushes them out of the wood. So when he can now advance into them.
Clever, clever.
Nice. He couldn't, but now he can.
Very clever.
But he doesn't do that much damage to them, and they manage to reform. So I've got three units of bulls in the wood.
Yep.
And he puts in a brigade in the front and a brigade in the side of the orcs.
Yep.
And they lose. They do zero wounds.
Nothing.
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 Oh, dear.
And then, obviously, the bulls take them to pieces.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, turn eight ends. I think I've lost... Can I lost another one there? I've lost 2.5 break.
Yep.
And maybe a character. 2.5 break. One of them's a Rhino's Rider, for sure. Maybe there's one stand left on the other Rhino's Rider.
Uh-huh.
So that's the 2.5. So that's 330 just in fucking Minox Riders.
Oops.
Mm-hmm. And then the support. Maybe I lost 3.5, 4. Anyway, he'd lost 8.5, I think. And characters. Yeah. Fuck, I've got to win this. Did I fuck? I'd done like 450 and he'd done 600 to me. You're like, shit, I've lost.
Hawks are so cheap.
I've lost. It's like he was 1.5 from breaking. I was like 5 away from breaking.
Yeah.
And I lose.
And you lose.
Because... They're worth fuck all.
It's not fair, is it? It's just not fair.
Because what happens is if nobody breaks, whoever's got the highest VP gets a draw, and the other person gets lost.
Yep.
It's bullshit,
it's
man.
It's bullshit, man.
How the fuck did I lose this one?
Bullshit, Mr. Handman.
There's no way this was up. But it was.
It was, yeah. I'm afraid.
It's all about VPs. It's your fault your ogres cost 105 points
to
you.
That's not his problem, is it? That's a you problem.
That's a you problem. So... Then I put the let's blow Paul's shit up. Make him roll his own.
Yeah.
Ones
so
as well.
So I've built things because I can't expand. So I had a port, a castle, and a mine. Barry plays a disaster on me.
Why not?
Where
so?
My things get blown up on ones. I roll 2 ones out of 3, reducing all my efforts like down back down to a castle. So I'd use the port to sail to touch a tile elsewhere, which I should have built a port to begin with. But now lessons learned. So now my little succession empire is now cut off and can't, like, because it can't come back.
No supply line.
There's no supply line. I was like, oh, that's great. Like, not that it made much difference. I wasn't going to win this thing.
It didn't make much difference. I went all or nothing and I obviously got nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm still on 7.
Yeah.
I get 1 point, which I can't do anything with.
Yeah.
So what did you get on with next?
So my last game was I challenged Alice. Yeah, because I just wanted to play him, basically, and I was like...
He was Tomb Kings as well.
He was Tomb Kings. And this was really cool, because I wanted to play him, because I was like, well, he's going to be as close to a rules judge as this our little game system's going to have, isn't it? Like,
well, he is.
But I'm saying it's like, it's not like back in War Machine days where a judge has taken, like, some sort of test or something.
Right,
Is it like, this is as close as we're going to get? Yeah, and I was like, I wanted to play him because mostly I just wanted to check, I wanted to make sure that I'm playing the game correctly, because you never know, you know.
Well, I'm pretty sure we don't,
you never know. Yeah, and he's got a very nice looking Tomb King army. It seems to be more than its points. It seems to have everything in its...
Well, you can't spend extra points. What I was saying. When I said, are you sure he had 2,000 points? That was because
I'm not sure.
He could have had gold to spend.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But it's, and he's got... this goes a bit cheeky, but I was a bit like, well, there you go. Like, lives and learns. There's a big hill on his side of the table and a hill in front of my deployment zone.
Big hill.
I look at it and I'm like, yeah, right. The hill's designed not for War Master, like they're too big really. And I was like, right, the thing to do will be for my artillery to be behind the hill and I move onto the hill and then it'll be in a nice position and it'll be further up than it needs to be anyway. So I choose that table side.
Well, it's unlikely to come to you anyway. It's a defensive army generally.
So yeah, exactly. So I guess I'm going to have to assail him. And so we set up, and then Alice remembers that he's forgotten to do his his chosen event.
General Special.
Is General Special, which is move a bit of scenery.
Nice.
So he takes this hill that I should have been moving onto, takes it straight away from me, and puts it right in his deployment zone next to his other hill, which I think was also wrong because it's meant to be a gap between them, but I didn't realise that at the time. So I'm like,
to be fair, there was a lot of stuff to remember.
So it's like, so I'm about to start this game, and I'm like, oh, now, I suppose I could have, like, hang on a second, you shouldn't allow me to redeploy here, because I set up, assume it, like, going to use that, and now you've just taken it off me out of sequence. But I didn't. I was like, life's too short to moan. You know, like, and we played the game. It was really good. But the six turns, like, mechanic of this, like, did change it, because the Tomb Kings have got two stone throwers, range 60. My stuff's range 40. So he's got the range of the game. If I can somehow take those stone throwers off him, screaming skull catapults, off him, I then have the range of the game. You know, and if there wasn't a turn limit, I would then rely, because I've think got a shooty dark elf list.
Yeah.
So it's like I can then come back on my shooting.
But is the turn limit a big problem? Because if I've got the range of the game and there's a six turn limit, that's good for me.
Yeah. So
that's bad for you.
So what happens is I do as in. Because that is in effect, I know that I might get six turns, I might get seven, and maybe eight. Mm. You know, like I know my shooting won't do enough over those. I need the ability to have like no end to this to keep shooting him. I play it right, like because he's got two brigades of three chariots each on each flank.
Yeah,
I attack them first before they attack me. On my left, I put two Cold One units and a character into it.
Should be enough.
Yeah, wasn't. I bounced. On the right, I put three Dark One, the Cold
One. On a hill or something, it's stopping you getting charged. But no, you get charged.
No. I just like
better.
He rolled better. On the right, my three units of Dark Riders got within 15 of the right hand of the edge of his brigade, shot it away. So one unit shot away. But then he made his rolls, and my standard shooting, I got one wound out of 14 or so shots, or something like that. Right. And it was just like, wow, I needed to do better. I needed to take stands off as they were coming in to, like, even that back up again. So I've done the right thing. I've attacked his chariots rather than them attacking me. But on my left, it's bounced.
So wouldn't it be as many as that? Because I've just thought of some... if you go into a brigade of three Dark Ones, Dark Riders.
Dark Riders, yeah.
There's only six can shoot, aren't there, unless you charge the middle fuckers.
He's right. So the first, but then he's got to move the other units in. So the first unit moves down, takes six shots.
And then next one takes four, five.
Yeah. Next one comes in, takes a few more.
Five. Yeah,
but if 11. You kill stands, it starts accumulating up.
Yeah,
so the first unit comes in and gets shot and loses a stand. And the next one coming in takes another shot as well.
Six, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, and it all just starts racking up. You know, like, but I felt, my dice.
The Dark Ones aren't that much worse.
Basically, I just
only got five.
Yeah. So, but what it did do, at the very least, what it did do is damage a lot of his chariots. You know, so I'm like, okay, I'm like, you know, like, and I managed to get onto his stone throwers with a unit of knights and like take them off. And I'm like, I'm playing it hard. I'm like, right, how can I get every advantage and still hanging this? But as you say, like, you know, but that Tomb King army and the way Alice was playing it was really strong. Like, it's a really good, like, you know, it's like, ooh. I mean, admittedly, like, I was trying to sail a defensive army in a good defended position.
Right.
You know, and it was difficult to do.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
But what was encouraging was that, actually, I do know the rules of this game. And, I wasn't getting anything wrong. Happy days.
Oh,
yeah, Alice beat me. But as I say, like, but I was mostly interested in playing. What I realised during the campaign is I should have forgotten about the campaign and just challenged the committee members, like, to play them.
I think you always did, didn't you? You played Jim, you played Rad, you played Alice.
Yeah, I played three committee members, but I didn't. Yeah, I'd like to play Christopher. Yeah,
Christopher.
Yeah, Christopher. Yeah.
But I think again, you don't always get to challenge. He was quite our hurry up.
No, I'd have liked to have played him as well. But it was, again, really good game against us. Like, you know, if you could set, I've said before, if you could bottle up that experience of, you know, the back and forth of a good war game, you know, and then market that I had two, three great games there.
One thing, because there was a lot good to remember. not only were there like buffs to heroes, were there rules you could bring in, there was your general had some special abilities that I never remember to use. Like, you could re-roll a whole set of dice.
Yeah.
Attack or armour, and I never did that once.
Oh, didn't you? That's what allowed me to storm Alice's stone throws.
Okay. I think if I'd played more games, I'd maybe remembered, but game three, I was called out that I had this upgrade on my hero and my butcher that was plus D3 attacks.
Yeah.
I thought, fucking hell, that's good. That's all they want to do is fight anyway.
Yeah.
And, but it was some kind of negative. They had to fight. Well, I don't fucking care. They're fighting anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the games, I lost everybody but my general because we're all fighting all the time. But he had to lose his mount. It wasn't optional. And he said, oh, you can't have him on this Rhinox rider. It's like, shit, I've paid the points for that. So now he's gone from having a Rhinox with plus two attacks and terror to having D3 attacks.
No terror.
But he's on foot and no terror. So, well, that's awful.
That's not better.
So I swapped the character out for the rest of that game against Vlad that I lost against the Orc player. And then the next game, I had to use my general ability to get rid of that.
Yeah.
For something, I think he was just ended up with like plus one attack or something.
So not something a normal. Not a negative.
Yeah. But game three, I played against another absolutely fucking mentalist list. Mentalist list.
Right, go on.
I think it's the list that Jim played in round three, and Jim, it was a break 16 Tomb King.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
Jim got 14. 14 break and lost.
And lost.
So this list was, fucking hell, 16 Skeleton Bowmen. Because they're cheap.
Yeah.
No, cheaper than Crossbowmen.
Yeah, of course, because they're worse.
Yeah, they're worse, but are they worse at shooting?
No.
So 16 units of those, 16 units of regular skeletons.
Yep.
2 units of flyers.
Yep.
Who are decent flyers?
Yeah, flyers.
2 skull chuckers. Characters, no dragons. Standard 5 character pack. I think that's it.
Yep.
So 2 skull chuckers, 2 birds. He said it took 3 people's collections to get the models together to do 16 bowmen and 16 skeletons.
I mean, it's not something you're going to have a lot of normally, is it?
Plus, I think in that game he had 4 raised dead.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake. So obviously, the one thing that my army can't deal with is shooting.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of shooting. Mm-hmm. A lot of shooting. I mean, like, preposterous amounts of shooting.
Also,
he's got the spell that stops my Rhinox Riders charging.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
He's got 4 of them a turn.
Yeah. Stop you doing that. Yeah.
Shit! I've got to get across this board. He's got screaming catapults to be dinging stuff up and confusing stuff. So, for the first, I think it took to turn 4 to get into, the first 3 turns of the game, my guys could not get across the board. On the left flank, as fast as I was pushing them forward, he was shooting them back.
I don't see with this, like, how could he draw enough firepower onto you, like, because they're all, like, infantry units. Like, how did he manage to draw enough firepower? Because he didn't have any stone throwers. That's the thing I wasn't, like, I didn't see in my head.
So the stone throwers are taking off something at turn.
Yeah.
They're knocking the stand off something, or they're confusing something. Yeah. They're confusing on 4 up.
Yeah.
So something's getting confused. And the problem is that if I'm not charging with my Rhinox, I've got that last order, it's got to be within 20.
Yeah.
So I'm now, and all this front line of every troop has got a fucking bow.
Of course, yeah.
So once you're within 20, if you don't get that order off, you've got like fucking 18 bows hitting you.
They were bowmen in life, they're bowmen in death.
So put them in column, but even then it was like 9 on this one, 6 on this one, 6 on this one. It's like they get blasted all over the fucking place. 2 units, a unit of Iron Guts and a unit of Bulls, got blown off the board. With drive back.
Fantastic.
Because once you're driving by like 7, which was only enough for 1 stand, they're dead. Because on average, die 7 drive by, you're dead.
Yeah, definitely.
Fucking hell. So the only way I got into this game was he got a bit gung-ho and he put his birds into the flank of a brigade.
Yeah.
And then he raised dead on the other flank.
Yeah.
So there's a brigade of 4, but birds in one flank, 2 lost birds with a character. I think he might have actually put a character in this one. And Razed and the other one, and they got fucking annihilated.
Yeah, because...
He put buffs on them, he get, they had the birds had five attacks, yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it don't matter.
Cause, and then I didn't follow up, I scrapped all my wounds off, I just reformed to get into the flank of the birds and stick the birds.
Yeah.
And then we were in about his army then, because we could advance into combat and stuff. My Rhinox, he managed to leave them alone for long enough for one unit to have one shot at getting into his line, and he managed to get in and burst through and then get to his skull chuckers.
Yep.
And then I think I lost in total, I lost six units because we were getting fucking slaughterized. But I did six, I did 14 and a half units.
So you did even more than Jim.
14 and a half units of these bastards. Plus there were four raised dead, of which I had to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you've got to get out of the way.
Kill them as well, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to get out of the way. And then we, I think we got, went to turn six and it ended. And then guess what happened?
What?
I lost.
Oh, because...
Even though I was 1.5 break away from winning, and I think he was 2 or 2.5 away from winning. And I pulled all my stuff back, so yeah. I mean... I was so close to winning. Because how hard is it to get 1.5 units of skeletons? One unit of bulls would eat through fucking 4 units of skeletons if you could get to them. I lost the game. I was like, shit! I killed fucking 14.5 break. Lost.
Lost. I mean, this army definitely intrigued me because I was like, look at it. Like, it, you know, how does it play on the table? I was very... Like,
it plays good against infantry.
Yeah.
What it doesn't play good against is cavalry.
No.
If you can just charge into them, the bows aren't... I mean, if you can get... But you can wither the storm going in with 4 up armour, the bowsmen are... They're garbage, aren't they?
Yeah, just get deleted.
Everything gets deleted in his army.
Yeah.
But Toonkeeps were everywhere. I think there were 4 of them in total. Right, so I'll pull up the results.
Yep.
So I got... I didn't go all or nothing for that one. I got 1 point, I think, again. And I managed to get... an upgrade for a city, because there were no tiles by this point. Because obviously, my phone's dead. Brilliant.
That's totally dead.
Yeah, totally dead. It's got the circle of pain. So okay. Can you go on your phone and get the Facebook page up?
Yeah.
In fact, we'll put pause here and we'll get the results out. So, the campaign system I enjoyed.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. The venue was unbelievable. The hotel was unbelievable. Food and drink was unbelievably cheap. There's a lot of history to see.
Yes.
It's not a tourist place.
No, and it's not like so big that you're not. We walked across it quite easily, unless we were missing like a chunk of the place out or something. Like it was that. Yeah, we were across it quite easily, weren't we? Like,
yeah, I mean, we were warned by Alish that the kind of service might
it's
be
not
a bit
British.
Surly.
Yeah, it's not British.
A bit surly, which was all right.
It's fine. But,
yeah,
it's fine.
I mean,
it's
as
fine.
Long as you know that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
You know what to expect.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a tremendous place. And people have asked, oh, can we do it in this place? Can we do it in that place? The difference being here, next year, if we're not worrying about books, I don't know what we'd need to charge. We probably don't need to charge hardly anything. Just enough to make sure we got some money to buy some trophies and to make some little bits and bobs to put in the bags and ask for some prize support.
Yeah.
So maybe as little as €10 a ticket or something.
My God.
Isn't it? What else do we need?
I took a photo. I put a photo on the Facebook group of like my tab, and it was like, so basically all these little marks mean that I've been here all day, I've been having a good time, and it's cost me £13. Yeah,
that's a full day's eating and drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Till 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, £13. I mean, like,
he's even bringing out that crazy hooch
stuff. Oh, that's you're talking at a bar where you have to drink shots that the guy makes himself, you know, like in his home, like peach or plum schnapps. And I was like, what? Basically, pulling out these clear bottles out of the fridge, like unmarked, unlabeled, just like plain glass and like clear liquid. It's like, what are you giving me? Like, what is this? Ethanol? Like,
yeah,
it's like, what is this? And it's like, oh, it's fine, I'll do some myself. And it's like, okay, you know. That was quite funny. I mean, because basically, when all said and done, it was cheaper, the whole thing, just cheaper experience than to go to Scotland. Like, you know, as in, the mind it just does the mind, doesn't it?
It doesn't compute, does it? Because in Scotland, you would pay for one night what you paid here for 3-night 4-star with breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what it is. And it's cheaper to get there on the plane than it is to get the train to Scotland by a long way.
A long way, yeah.
I think it was like 30 quid each way to get to Bruno on the, in the plane. So anyway, unless something changes in the next couple of weeks, I can't think of a reason why I wouldn't do it again.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. I don't see why would you want to go
there'd
any,
be a couple
why
of reasons.
Yeah, go on.
One would be you need more than 30 tickets.
Yes.
Because they can't do more than 30 tickets.
The venue was great. I mean, like, okay, fair enough.
So, but I think what you'd do is commit to doing it the next year.
Yep.
And if we sell out 30 tickets, then worry about the year after.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't move the venue like to somewhere else because you might sell it out when you didn't sell it out that time.
Yeah, exactly. We might go to somewhere else as a bigger venue and have less than 30 people.
Yeah.
You think, well, why have we come here and...
I think 30's fine, personally. Like, if you have really, is there the demand for more than 30 people attending, well, then better be the first 30 that get the tickets in, isn't it?
I would say. I mean, the only potential...
Like, the demand would have to be a lot more than 30.
Yeah. And we'd have to find a way of making life a bit easier for Alish, making the campaign a bit simpler, because there was quite a lot of book work and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
the map's beautiful. We can still use the map.
We'll have to do that again, I suppose. But it's like, I mean, I would say, if we were to go in and play that campaign system again, not that I know one that's better, but I wouldn't even... Like, I would play it, but I would just challenge the people I wanted to play. I wouldn't challenge people who...
But it was a nice system. You could,
yeah,
if,
no, it's
if you're playing it, if you're playing it for 10 weeks in a club,
yeah,
in club,
it's perfect, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. There's quite a lot going on. It's quite good fun.
Yeah, yeah, it's a... definitely.
Yeah. So, I think at the moment, I haven't confirmed it yet, obviously, because I have to speak to Blackhall and stuff. We'd probably go back there. We'd probably have 30 tickets, and it probably, because there's no books needed now, it would probably be as little as... Maybe €10 a ticket, just to cover, to make sure I've got money to get dice and some money to buy for, like, if I get some models sculpted or make some templates or whatever.
I mean, and I would say to our English, like, colleagues listening to this, it's so cheap. Like, the only negative...
It is a real negative, though, the only negative.
Yeah, the only negative is that currently, from Stansted, which is the airport we would fly from, which might not be the airport you fly from, there's one flight a day from Ryanair into the venue.
And it's too early to leave on the Sunday.
Yes. So
I think it was like 4-ish. You'd have to be there at like 2:30-ish.
Yeah.
Which is too early.
Yeah. So, if we could have chosen it, we'd have left on Sunday evening to get back to our respective families. We couldn't.
And I think it's an afternoon flight on the way out as well, so it really was, you have to go Friday to Monday.
Yeah, Friday to Monday. It's a Friday to Monday.
Friday to Monday.
A Friday to Monday gig. And that's the only negative thing I can think about it, is the time for that. And that's just because of accessibility there on flights. That's it.
There may be when we look into it, there may be a way to go to Prague.
We didn't,
to do it,
so. But there might be a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
Hey man, you seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man. I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
Okay, so we'll just talk about the results. Alice came up with a fucking million different results, didn't
you? Yeah,
like, can you just tell me the fucking results? Why there are 15 different results and half of them have got you at the first? I think the only one that didn't have him at first was the one that we actually awarded the prize on.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I think so.
VP difference, VP total, wins. Yeah, I think it is. That's brilliant. Right, so Gregor from Poland won.
Gregor.
And he had chaos.
Yes,
I didn't see what chaos was.
I don't know. I couldn't contemplate on his list. I did not see it.
But he had, according to this, he had 10 tiles and 4 buildings.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's EP is tiles plus castles, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then buildings was a tiebreaker.
Yep.
So he had 10 empire points,
yep,
the accumulation of buildings and tiles, and he had 4 buildings. Vlad was second with Orcs and Goblins. He's the guy I played in round 3. Peter with Lizardmen. So Vlad was from the Czech Republic. Peter was from Germany. And then, oh my God, these fucking... The Polish fellas, there's too many Zeds. It's just, I don't know how to... Because the Z doesn't even mean a Z.
Yeah.
K Khazad-dûm Tomb Kings. In fifth place, oh my god, Bezikik, who's the Anton and the guy that did the fucking logo with Dogs of War, who beat you.
Yep.
Martin with Tomb Kings, I played him. Christopher from Sweden. Martin and Christopher are both from Sweden. He played Araby.
Yep.
Seventh place, Barry, Team GB, Auger Kingdoms, with 7+1. So I won out of the UK as well.
Yeah, there you go.
I fucking won back quite well. So Ogre Kingdoms, for all the shitness,
yep.
You can still get results with them.
Yeah, of course you can.
I mean, I was testing some rules in some games. I didn't test them in the later games, but in the earlier games, I was putting nobblers where nobblers shouldn't go.
Yep.
Putting green, whatever they're called, into places they shouldn't get to. Right, Dan from the Czech Republic with SK. Skaven!
No, Skaven, yeah.
Did you see his list?
I did, yeah. He put it up online, yeah.
Was it different to yours?
not dramatically. I mean, I wonder why he put like a 50-point banner on a unit of Plague Monks, that kind of thing. Was like,
or shielding or something.
Fortitude or something. Like, yeah, it's really increased their... It's like...
He's got the model or something. He's just adding, isn't it?
The right thing to do.
Or maybe it's form or whatever, yeah. Marek from the Czech Republic playing EM.
Empire,
well done, sir. Frank from Germany playing the Vampire Counts. I played him game 2. Alish. He finished 12th on this list. He's first than I've ever with 2 Kings. Rad from the Czech Republic with Bretonian. Conrad from Poland with Tomb Kings. I think he had the fucking brewery, didn't he, Conrad, the bastard? Yeah. I wanted that brewery. Although it did nothing in game, psychologically.
The buff it did was so minimal.
It was fucking negligible. But
yeah, it's just, honestly, even if you remembered it, that would do it.
Which I never would. But yeah. I think you've got to re-roll a single armour save dice.
Yeah, one single save. Like, one dice. I mean...
Whereas your general gave you a buff that let you re-roll them all.
Yeah.
Right, and there's, we've got Conrad, Tomb Kings, Paul, Team GB.
Yeah.
The Dark Elves.
Yeah.
Iron Skull, which is probably my favourite nickname.
Yeah.
Iron Skull from Czech Republic with... Albion.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Jim GB with Chaos. And Christina from Austria with High Elves.
Yeah.
So we had... There wasn't that much repeating, really, apart from Tomb Kings.
Well, yeah, I mean...
So
I mean,
if you take those four Tomb Kings away, I don't think anything... there's two Chaos, four Tomb Kings, and I don't think anything else was repeating.
And also, those Chaos lists, they were very different from each other, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure there aren't many people that run gyms.
I mean, what is more thing to say is what isn't there? There's no dwarf army there.
No.
You know, I was the only dark elf army. Yeah, you know, it was like I didn't expect that.
No.
Mm-hmm. You know, one high elf army.
No.
Yeah. So the big three command tens, one isn't even represented.
Okay. So the awards, we had an achievement award, which was basically in recognition for kind of stuff that people have done to help the hobby. And I think it was pretty fair play to give that to Alish, because without Alish there would not be revolutions, and without revolutions I probably wouldn't be playing anymore.
Exactly. I spoke to him afterwards and I thanked him personally for the work that he's done. Like, it's credit where credit's due. Yeah, and it was very interesting meeting him as well, meeting all these people actually.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That was one of the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Best painted. There were some lovely painted armies there. But Christina and Peter had done an amazing job. Yeah. There was like a collaboration to do the High Elf army. Mm-hmm. It was just, I mean, they do lend themselves to look good on the table.
Yeah, I mean,
High Elves.
It's worth saying that, as in like the High Elf models can be painted very clean, and that looks good. With Warmaster, like there are some things in Warmaster.
I think there was some freehand banner work and stuff.
Yeah,
it really did.
You're right.
There are some
effects and looks and like styles that just look strong at 10 mil. But
I think light colours rather than dark colours. So I mean, they were very very nice. we had a special award. There was it was called the Gerd Hansen Award.
Yeah,
which was basically just about being a nice fella and kind of getting out there and trying like make the hobby better for other people and kind of encourage people into the hobby.
Yeah,
and we gave that to a guy who it goes by his internet handle of Bajikik. Yeah. because he created the logo.
Yeah.
And not only that, the Team Poland players, the four of them, turned up with a fucking cardboard box full of mugs with the logo on it.
Yeah.
So not only have they made the logo, they bought a mug for every player.
That was very nice.
That was. So the reward was kind of for all of you, but especially you. That's BEJZKIK. Fuck knows how you say that, sir. That just does not compute in the Queen's English. And the campaign winner was Gregor.
Yeah.
Or there's always Zs everywhere. So it's GRZEGORZ. Come on, Paul.
So two Zs in it.
Yeah, but I don't think they mean Zs. I don't think it
works. Yeah, two Zs. You can't unsee that, can you? As an English language, it's like
Gregor. Gregor. Well done, sir. You were deserving when he submarined until round four, and then suddenly you paid him one.
Yeah,
which is the way to do it.
It's how this campaign system allows you to do it.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to go out as a front runner because everybody comes for you, blows your stuff up.
Yeah,
keep quiet.
You don't want to go in there with like grudges already like just set against you, just because of who you are.
Yeah. So we had prizes from Comedy Forge and KR Multicase. We also had stuff in the bags from Pendraken and Cromarty Forge, who gave everybody a unit of the Vampire Vikings.
Yeah, which is very cool. Which is something that is like not released yet.
Yeah, that was impressive. Yeah. And it was really good. Is all I can say. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not just saying it because I've been to events that aren't really good.
Yeah,
that cost more than that. Yeah. The fucking World Championship cost more than that.
Yeah, definitely.
And we didn't get much for that, really.
We did not.
I even got a broken fucking trophy.
Yeah, we did not. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. You said it don't matter. We'll take the broken one and give it to me.
Yeah.
Bastard. So yeah, hopefully we'll run it again. We'll try and avoid Paul's birthday because that.
Well, yeah, but surely Valentine's Day is difficult for other people as well. But it doesn't. I mean, like it does.
There are pluses and minuses to do in February. February's dirt cheap generally for everything because who the fuck goes sightseeing in February?
Yeah, it's meant to be cold.
Yeah. Well, it was meant to be cold. It really wasn't cold. So we'll still try and head for half term in February, I think, but avoid your birthday.
Yeah, sure.
It just makes life easier for you, doesn't it?
Well, it does. Yeah, I mean, like, you have to see if it's gonna be Bruno, then the most important person aside from yourself is Alice. Like, is Alice, you know, available?
But he has a similar problem on the Sunday.
Yeah.
Whereas
his
son's birthday, so avoid that as well.
Yeah, avoid that.
So if we avoid that weekend, whatever weekend this was, move it to the other one in half term. Should be job done.
Job done.
Mm-hmm. Should be job done. Mm-hmm. Right. So. We're gonna. He's gonna weigh on his a little jolly ski for a week.
So
we'll release this probably next Friday, and then maybe we'll try and record the week after or the week after that. But the boards are clear again now.
Yep.
So we've got nothing to talk about apart from the event that's coming up.
And something I hope that would happen has already started to happen is by attending this event. It naturally in what makes others want to do such similar things.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely true.
So I've already seen on the group, like several people have said, oh, I could hold one here or there or whatever. Like, where's the next one going to be? It could be in my country. I'd host it. And also, we've got an invite to both a Swedish event, which is, like, we'll throw it out. I can't do it. But also.
Unless I'm going to go teetotal,
yeah,
I can't.
Yeah, yeah. but also a event in Germany as well.
Possibly, that's very good. Yeah. So that's fantastic news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my calendar's already getting full because unlike you, I have to kind of choose my battles.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I really want to do North of the Wall because I need to go and spend some time with John from Cromarty Forge.
Yeah.
We need to sit down and have a beer or two, maybe half a haggis each or something.
whatever passes for
a white pudding.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got to do two tri-wiz.
Yeah.
They're my priorities, and then if we go to Germany, that would be cool.
And Brunswick.
I got a lot of leeway because it is my 50th birthday. So that does give you you do get quite a lot of leeway with that.
Uh-huh.
But there are so many events this year. I think there's Warmaster, isn't that potentially they're talking about? And then there's the Milton Keynes one.
Yep.
Mm, so we will see. We will see. But the next one we're going to be talking about is the Tri-Wiz Free General event.
Yeah. So that's going to be a free. You get a free Command 9 General. three regular games, you know, like normal, no scenario, see what happens. Yeah.
Oh, I know what's going to happen. People like me are going to take orcs, aren't they?
I don't think I will, just because, you know, I don't want the whole thing to be orcs.
If you'll get goblins too.
Yeah, get goblins too. looking at the lot of stuff up there, I would like to take demons, but I, you know what I need to do for it.
It depends how many weeks we've got left.
Okay, dwarves, and see if having a command nine of them makes a difference.
Well, can't make them any better, can I? That's for fucking sure.
Yeah, I'll take something.
Oh, I'm sure. So, enjoy your holiday.
Yeah.
Don't break a leg.
I'll try not to.
Don't break a leg. And come back and see us in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, to everybody else, hopefully see you next year in Bruno. Good night.
Bye.
Would you like to know more?